the Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something pretty central to modern life, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We're diving into how we understand films, screens, all of it.
Exactly. We're looking at Noel Carroll's really important book, Cinema, a very short introduction. And our mission today, well, it's to give you a kind of ultimate toolkit for analyzing this art form.
That's right. Because Carroll's approach, it really shifts how we think about media literacy. It's not just about whether you enjoyed a film.
No, it's about understanding how it works.
Precisely. We want to unpack his main idea that cinema is fundamentally the art of the moving image and hopefully give you a clear, jargon-free way to look at any visual media.
Which is so relevant today, right? I mean, think about how much screen time we all have. Films, streaming shows, YouTube, TikTok.
It's everywhere. And understanding the sort of basic mechanics of visual storytelling, well, that's crucial for critical thinking. Carroll helps us see the craft involved.
Yeah, to see why something grabs our attention or why it makes us feel a certain way. It's like looking under the hood.
Exactly like looking under the hood. So let's start with the person behind this idea, Noel Carroll. He's a really distinguished American philosopher, a major figure in aesthetics today.
And his background is quite unique, isn't it?
It really is. He actually holds PhDs in both cinema studies and philosophy. That's pretty rare.
Wow. So he's got the film history chops and the deep philosophical thinking about how we perceive things.
That's the key combination. It meant he wasn't just describing films. He was asking fundamental questions about how we, as viewers, understand and engage with them.
So what was happening in film theory when he came along? Why did he feel the need to sort of push back?
Good question. He's known as the leading proponent of cognitivist film theory. This really emerged in the 1980s, and it was a direct challenge to what he called grand theory. These were the dominant approaches back then, often drawing heavily on psychoanalysis or post-structuralism.
Right, the kind of theories that sometimes feel a bit dense, lots of specialized terms.
Exactly, often very abstract, focusing on things like subconscious drives, ideology, maybe societal structures, shaping our interpretation in ways we aren't even aware of.
So Carroll saw that and thought, what? There's a simpler way.
Pretty much. He championed clarity, logic, almost a common sense approach. The cognitivist view says we engage with films using our ordinary everyday mental toolkit, you know, our ability to perceive, to reason, to understand cause and effect.
So we're not just passive sponges soaking it all up.
Not at all. Carroll argues we're active participants. We're intelligent viewers trying to make sense of the story, the characters, the world on screen, using the same cognitive skills we use every day.
That feels much more intuitive, actually. It suggests anyone can analyze a film meaningfully without needing a specialized decoder ring.
That's exactly the idea. It empowers the viewer. And that whole philosophy really shapes his book, Cinema. A very short introduction. It's meant to be a concise guide, a toolkit.
Let's talk about that core definition he uses. It seems simple but powerful. Cinema is the art of the moving image. Why focus on moving image rather than film?
That's a crucial choice. It's deliberately broad. By defining it that way, he makes the theory medium independent.
Meaning it applies beyond traditional movies on celluloid.
Exactly. It covers digital cinema, streaming series, video art, animation, even potentially things we haven't invented yet. If it involves artistically controlling moving images to create meaning or effect, his framework applies. It's future-proof.
That makes sense. And the central insight is about the link between how a film is made and how we process it, right?
That's the absolute core. He sees filmmakers as skilled designers of experience. They construct these moving images very purposefully.
To what, exactly?
To tap into our fundamental human abilities, our visual perception, our problem-solving skills, our capacity for rational empathy. The book basically walks you through how they do this, step by step.
Okay, so it's a systematic breakdown.
Yeah, from how stories are built, to why certain shots are used, even how we evaluate if a film is good.
Right, let's dig into that system. Starting with something basic but powerful. How film controls where we look. It's very different from watching a play.
Oh, completely different. In live theater, your eyes can wander. You choose your focus, mostly.
But in a movie?
The filmmaker directs your gaze, assertively. Right. Through the framing of the shot, the editing cuts, the camera movements, they decide precisely what you see and when and how. That control is fundamental to cinematic storytelling.
And that control feeds directly into how stories are structured. He's a specific term for this. Eritetic narration.
Yes. Eritetic. It sounds academic, maybe, but the concept is surprisingly straightforward.
Okay, break it down for us.
Eritetic just means it's based on questions. Narratives, especially popular ones, are basically engines for raising questions in the viewer's mind and then managing the release of answers.
So like a mystery.
Exactly like a mystery, but it applies much more broadly. A film poses a big central question. You know, will the hero defeat the villain? Or will the couple get together?
Right.
And then the whole plot unfolds by constantly raising smaller subordinate questions related to that big one. Crucially, it delays the final answer to keep you hooked.
Can you give an example, maybe a classic thriller?
Sure. Think about something like The Fugitive. The massive question is, can Richard Kimball prove his innocence and find the real killer before he's caught?
Okay, that drives the whole movie.
Definitely. But then, scene by scene, you get smaller questions. How will he escape the bus crash? Where can he possibly hide? How does he find clues while Gerard is closing in? Each sequence raises a question, offers a temporary answer, or maybe raises another question.
So our brain is constantly engaged, trying to figure out the next step, anticipate the answers.
Precisely. We're not passive. We're actively processing, problem solving. It's a cognitive workout, really. That's the hook.
Okay, so if the narrative structure is built on questions and answers, then the visuals, the editing, must be about focusing our attention on those questions, right?
You got it. That leads us straight into cinematic style. And Carroll's guiding principle here is form follows function.
Meaning style isn't just for show, it's not just decoration.
Not according to Carroll. For him, every stylistic choice, camera angle, lens choice, lighting, editing rhythm, serves a specific purpose. It's a tool to guide your perception, your understanding, or your emotional response.
Can you give a clear example, something that links a camera choice to how we see things in real life?
Sure. Think about camera angles.
Yeah.
A low angle shot where the camera looks up at a character.
Makes them look powerful, imposing.
Right. Why? Because in everyday life, we literally look up to people who have status or physical presence. The filmmaker is borrowing that real-world perceptual cue.
Yeah.
Or a close-up. It forces you to focus intensely on someone's face or an object. It creates intimacy or signals that something is psychologically very important. Just like in real life, we only get that close to things that really matter to us.
That makes intuitive sense. The filmmaker is using a kind of visual shorthand based on our lived experience. Does the same logic apply to editing?
Absolutely. Consider continuity editing. That's the standard style in most Hollywood films. Things like the shot pattern in conversations.
It's kind you barely notice.
Exactly. Its function is to be invisible. It creates a smooth, continuous sense of time and space so you can focus all your cognitive energy on the dialogue, the characters, the story itself.
But not all editing is like that. What about something more jarring, like montage?
Right, like in Eisenstein's films, Battleship Potemkin is the classic example. There, the function is totally different. You have a collision of often unrelated images.
To create an idea.
Yes, to create an abstract concept or an intellectual or emotional shock in the viewer's mind. It's a very different stylistic tool. Serving a very different cognitive function, form follows function.
Okay, narrative style.
Yeah.
What about emotion? This is often seen as the irrational part of movie watching. How does a cognitivist like Carroll explain why we feel things so strongly?
Yeah, this is a really interesting part of his theory. He talks about criterial prefocusing.
Criterial prefocusing.
It sounds technical, but the idea is that films elicit specific emotions, not through some kind of mysterious subconscious manipulation, but because the filmmaker carefully sets up the situation to meet the criteria for a rational emotional response.
Wait, hold on. Emotion is rational. How does that work?
Well, rational in the sense of intelligible or warranted by the situation presented. The filmmaker clearly shows you, say, a good person suffering unfairly.
Okay.
They provide all the context, the character's virtue, the injustice of their situation. Given those clear criteria, the most intelligible, the most fitting emotional response is sympathy or sadness.
Ah, I see. So you're not being irrationally tricked into feeling sad. Your brain is recognizing that the situation presented logically calls for sadness or empathy.
Exactly. The film builds the case, presents the evidence, and your emotion is the logical conclusion based on that evidence. It's an intelligent recognition, not a reflex.
It's like the film constructs an emotional argument, and we respond to the logic of it. Does this apply even to things like documentaries, which we sometimes think of as just capturing reality?
Definitely. Carroll argues that documentaries aren't passive recordings. They are representations that make an assertion about the real world. They have a point of view, an argument.
So we should analyze them like an essay looking at the evidence they present.
Precisely. We assess the strength of their assertion based on the evidence shown and how logically it's structured. It's still about cognitive processing.
Okay, this framework covers a lot. Narrative, style, emotion, even nonfiction. But what about judging films? Carroll tackles the whole it's all subjective idea, right?
He does, quite strongly. He argues against pure subjectivism, the idea that evaluating a film is just a matter of personal taste, end of story.
So how can we judge films more objectively, according to him?
The key is to evaluate a film based on how well it achieves its own intended purpose or goals. You judge a comedy by whether it's funny, a thriller by whether it's suspenseful, an art film by its complexity or innovation.
So context matters. You don't use the same yardstick for everything.
Right. And he offers some specific criteria to help make those judgments more objective. Things like
coherence, unity.
Yes. Does the film hang together? Do all the parts, the style, the narrative work towards its overall aim? Is it unified?
Makes sense. What else?
Complexity. Does it tackle its themes or story with some depth and nuance?
Yeah.
Originality or innovation? Does it do something fresh? Maybe play with conventions in an interesting way? And intensity. How powerfully does it achieve its intended effect, whether that's making you laugh or cry or think? A film that tries something complex and pulls it off coherently is arguably a better film than one that aims low and is messy about it.
This really does move the conversation beyond just, I liked it or I didn't like it. It gives you tools to talk about the craft.
Absolutely. It's about analyzing the design and its effectiveness.
So if we were to boil down the biggest messages from Carroll's approach, what would they be?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's about demystifying film theory, making it accessible.
How so?
His message is that you don't need an obscure, specialized vocabulary to talk intelligently about film. Analysis should be logical, grounded in what you actually see and hear on screen. Anyone can do it if they look closely and think clearly.
That connects to the second big theme, which you mentioned earlier, active spectatorship.
Yes. We're not passive dummies being manipulated. We're active, intelligent viewers, constantly processing information, forming hypotheses, trying to figure things out.
I like thinking about feeling suspense, not just as a feeling, but as my brain actively working on the puzzle the director set up.
Exactly. It makes watching feel more like a collaboration. Third theme, the primacy of narrative clarity. That erotetic model questions and answers shows just how powerful, clear, efficient storytelling is. It's a fundamental psychological hook.
And that applies beyond movies, surely, like in presentations or teaching.
Oh, absolutely. Structure your information around a core question or problem, and people stay engaged. And the fourth big one, maybe the most practical for watching films critically, form serves function.
Right. Style isn't just decoration.
Never just decoration. Every choice has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Once you grasp that, it totally changes how you watch. You stop just noticing a cool shot and start asking, okay, why use that zoom right here? What's it doing? How is it guiding my attention or feeling?
It makes you appreciate the intentionality behind it all.
Definitely. And Carroll himself is known for being very precise in his writing.
Mm-hmm.
He boils down complex ideas really effectively.
Yeah, let's maybe touch on a few key statements, sort of paraphrase, that really capture his core ideas. How about the first one, on defining cinema?
Cinema should be defined not by the technology of film, but as the art of the moving image.
The takeaway being, focus on the artistic effect, the controlled movement, not the physical medium.
Exactly.
Keeps it relevant.
Okay, statement two, on narrative. The engine of popular narrative is erotetic. It functions by raising questions in the mind of the viewer.
Which really highlights our curiosity, our rational desire to figure things out, as the main driver of engagement.
Third, on emotion. A film cues a specific emotion by criterially pre-focusing the scene, presenting a situation so clearly that a particular emotional response is the most intelligible one.
A reminder that our feelings are often the logical outcome of the scenario the filmmaker has carefully constructed. It's rational in that sense.
And finally, number four, on style. Style in cinema is not decoration. It serves a function. Every choice is a tool designed to guide the viewer's attention. Yeah, that's really a tribute to the craftsmanship involved. It pushes us to analyze those choices.
So bringing this all together, how can listeners start using this framework? What are the real-life applications?
Well, for just watching movies at home, it really elevates your appreciation. You can go beyond, I liked it, and actually build an argument for why it worked or didn't work.
using things like coherence or complexity or how effectively the style served the story.
Exactly. It gives you a shared objective language to talk about something often seen as purely subjective.
And you mentioned applications beyond film viewing.
Oh, yeah. The principles are transferable, that erotetic model.
Yeah.
Structuring information around questions, that's gold for anyone doing presentations, teaching, even writing marketing copy. It's about guiding attention effectively.
Makes sense. It's essentially about clear communication design.
And more broadly, the whole approach is just great training in critical thinking. You're learning to take a complex thing, a film, break it down into its components, narrative, style, sound, analyze how those parts function together, and evaluate the overall effectiveness.
That skill applies everywhere. Analyzing an advertisement, a news report, a political speech.
Anywhere you need to deconstruct how information is being presented to achieve an effect. It builds visual literacy, analytical literacy.
Thinking back on all this, what really struck me was how Carroll kind of removes the mystique. He shows films not as magic, but as intricate artifacts, intelligently designed by filmmakers for an audience they assume is also intelligent.
Yeah, it definitely increases respect for the director's craft, doesn't it?
It really does.
For me, the lasting takeaway is how powerful cinema is because it synthesizes so much. It blends artifice and realism, entertainment, and sometimes profound ideas. And it does this by harnessing our most basic human faculties, our reason, our curiosity, our empathy. It's a theory of art deeply rooted in just how humans work.
A really grounded and empowering way to think about the movies we watch.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.